In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our dear fellow redeemed, let us think today particularly of the introductory words of last Sunday's Gospel, the Gospel for Judica, the traditional Gospel. Which one of you, says the Lord, convicts me of sin? But if I tell you the truth, why don't you believe me? That very question goes against the grain of our contemporary mindset. Because as 20th century participants and in many ways beneficiaries of democratic mass culture, we are deeply convinced that there is something very good about a free flow of information. There is something absolutely sacred about freedom of the press, so that it's positively wicked to exclude the gentlemen of the press from a little adventure like the liberation of Grenada. There is something sacred about the transmission of public information, because behind that there lies the idea that if only information is freely available, then the truth will be obvious to all men of goodwill. And therefore it goes quite against our grain to be told, if I tell you the truth, why don't you believe me? We seem to think, and also often in the church, we seem to presuppose, if only we can clearly state what is true, then everybody will automatically agree with that. And yet, when Christ says the truth, they rush him to the cross. And we don't find that what we are saying is necessarily any more popular. In fact, the Lord said that we too can expect persecution for our troubles in saying the truth. You know how it is in a court case, where you hear the witnesses to one side, and you become quite convinced, yes, this is an open and shut case. Nobody could talk his way out of that. Then come the witnesses for the other side. And suddenly you realize, ah yes, the same fact can be seen from quite a different perspective, and then it can mean something altogether different. And then it's not so easy and not so obvious and commonsensical to find what the truth is in a situation of human conflict. But in the last 200 years at least, people have generally held, yes, truth may be tricky when it comes to human conflict, but there is an area where we can be assured of it. Humanity, yeah, that's doubtful. Divinity, especially doubtful. But what is clear and obvious is nature. Nature is not going to deceive us. Science is a preserve of statements on which you can rely, because that goes by common sense. Well, today even that has broken down. Modern physics has moved far beyond the realms of common sense. The universe, as reconstructed according to Einstein, relativity and subnuclear physics, is so against the grain of all common sense that one wouldn't believe it unless I had very strong chains of reasoning leading to that. One of the great contemporary philosophers of science who has had a great deal to do with bringing down this idea of science as an absolute bearer of truth, Sir Karl Popper, points out that in one of the great revolutions of modern thought, it was really creative human imagination and reason that triumphed over common sense and mere observation, the Copernican system. You see, according to common sense, according to what we see, we should conclude that the sun goes round the earth. That's what we see every day. It takes quite an exercise of ingenuity, imagination, and reason to reason from all sorts of sometimes obscure data to come to the conclusion that contrary to the appearance, therefore contrary to all common sense, in fact, it is the earth that goes round the sun and to boot turns around on its own axis yet, something which we don't experience by sitting here looking at the ground. So even science today is not a realm where truth is unproblematical, where it is clear, obvious to common sense and to all men of goodwill. how much more God. But the reason here, dear friends, is important to see. The reason the truth about God is not obvious is not simply because of the gap between creatures and creator, because he's infinite and we are finite. That's a small part of the trouble. The real trouble lies much deeper than that. It lies in our spiritual devastation. It lies in the truth that St. Paul says, we are all by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Therefore, man by nature, as he is, cannot know God, cannot love him, cannot come to him. Yes, the truth of God, these things are spiritually discerned. They are hidden from natural man. In fact, man escapes and runs away. The truth about God, Christ here reveals in today's gospel. This is one of the high points in all the four gospels, where the Lord, who does not go about with superficial aplomb saying, look, I'm God. But he compelled his enemies, as it were, to make him take off one veil after the other and then reveal himself in this climactic confession before, truthfully I tell you, before Abraham ever came to be, I am. And they knew exactly what that meant. They remembered when Moses had said, who are you? Who shall I say sent me? He said, I am that I am. Tell them, I am sent you. So they understood what Christ said when he said, before Abraham came into being, I am. And their response is more correct than our nihilistically tolerant contemporary response. What's today's response? Today's response, no matter what anybody might say, is a smile. Thank you very much. That was interesting. Next, please. Then somebody presents the opposite case. Thank you. That was very valuable. We shall consider it. Next, please. Because it is now the fashion, behind the mask of a deep respect for truth, such respect that we are entirely objective about it, behind that mask there hides itself a total nihilism which does not believe that any truth is really available or is worth fighting for. And so everything is greeted with the same smile, thank you, next please. The Jews were far more right. They were far more correct in taking up stones to throw at him. That attitude is healthier than the modern attitude of cynicism that smiles, how nice, but refuses at all even to take it seriously enough to cast stones. So they were blessed from that point of view. They were closer to the kingdom than our modern relativists. But why are they so opposed? Why are they so hostile? Because he tells them the truth. Before our text, the Lord has said, not just if I'm telling you the truth, but he says, it is because I tell you the truth that you refuse to believe me. The truth from the point of view of the sinner who is an escapist from God, who is fleeing, that truth looks unattractive, particularly when spoken by God who doesn't look very much like God, a God born in some anonymous stable in a manger and then hanging on the criminal's cross, not a very convincing, supporting scene for a God. And so we think we can get by looking for something more grandiose and more convincing. And Christ, despising the miracle-obsessed desire for proof, says, all right, you want a sign, but none shall be given except one, the sign of Jonah. That's the sign, you see, that we're about to have holidays for and celebrate, the sign of the resurrection. As Jonah was for 3 days and three nights in the fish, so the Son of Man. But even this miracle can be contradicted. A lawyer, when convinced that yes, by all the best evidence, the resurrection must be the thing, then was asked, well, will you become a Christian then, since you admit that by all accounts, according to the preponderant weight of the evidence, beyond a reasonable doubt, Jesus rose from the dead. Will you then be a Christian? He said, no. At least that was honest. As honest as the physicist on the Chicago radio station recently, who was asked, when the complexities of the Big Bang became apparent, and the enormous organization of the intellectual sophistication of how the universe must have originated. And he was asked by the interviewer, do you believe, therefore, that this is God? Do you believe in God? He said, no, because if we did, we should have to live quite different lives from what we find it convenient to live now. Again, how deeply honest, how much more honorable than to give the usual claptrap, which is to say, we are too bright for that sort of thing. We know too much. We are too clever, too intelligent. No, the real reason is, it's too inconvenient to embrace a truth which wears a crown of thorns and which has a cross. It's very difficult to embrace a cross and a crown of thorns. Yet, it is this truth that the Lord says, if you continue in my word, then in truth you are my disciple, and you shall know the truth. Fancy, that's for us 20th century people too. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free not in a political, economic sense, far deeper. Free in the real sense, the one sense that matters, free from the condemnation of God. Therefore, the introit for our Sunday is, judge me, O God, and plead my cause. Judge me? Do we dare to imitate Christ's statement to the Jews, which one of you convicts me of sin? Who of us would like to get up in this chapel and say, which one of you convicts me of sin? It would be very easy to convict any of us of sin. We're all sinners. We cannot make the truth of the gospel dependent on our sinlessness, but it does depend on his sinlessness. Because he who knew no sin was made sin by imputation for us, that we by imputation might be made the righteousness of God. That is the truth that makes us free. Therefore, we can stand and clutch that truth to ourselves, treasure that truth that looks superficially unattractive, treasure it because it makes us free, and that is the only truth through which, as Jesus says, if you believe that, then you shall never die. That wins the victory because he has won it for us. And that truth, dear friends, gives us courage to go also in this Holy Week. We relive with him Gethsemane and Calvary. And we know that in our own lives, Gethsemanes and Calvaries are not avoidable, at least not if we are truthful. You all know where the areas are where we lie to ourselves, because we haven't the courage to follow the truth. We haven't even the honesty of the physicist openly to say, no, it's too inconvenient to follow God. We are like the brother who says, yes, yes, the son who says, yes, we'll do it, and then don't do it. But in this truth, the truth which is not a human achievement, not a scientific philosophical construct, the truth which is not a kind of technicality where the devil can prove a text in a total context of lies, the truth which is beyond technicalities, a truth which is the truth, the ultimate truth about God and about us. That truth has such power, such blessing, such love of God, that we can ask God to come, judge me, O God, meaning vindicate, justify me because of the judgment that has happened there. Therefore, liberate me in your mercy. That truth, dear friends, has enough power and life in it to give us the courage even to go to Gethsemane. And yes, to pray what we so shudder to pray, not my will, but thine be done. That's what we need to pray. And only this divine, heavenly gift of life-giving truth, only that can give us the courage to pray that, to go to Gethsemane, to go to Calvary, because the resurrection is ours in that gift of truth. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.